Man, thank you so much. Sorry about the smell. I told Taylor he couldn't keep that pet raccoon, but, yeah, man. I thought it was a mouse. They often die underneath here. I didn't think about it. wouldn't have been a bad idea. So. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Ezra. Ezra, the book right beyond 2 Chronicles. Turn to the first chapter. We've been looking at the series, just looking at the Bible. Genesis, we found that there was a seed that's coming, the beginning, and laid down the foundation for this overarching theme of redemption. Salvation is what Exodus is all about. God is coming to bring salvation, and Leviticus introduces us to the God of salvation, that he is the holy God whom we must walk. Yet men are unfaithful. Numbers shows us God is faithful. Deuteronomy lays out for us what is the great expectation that he has for us. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Walk in obedience. Come to Joshua. Meet with the warfare. Find that the word of God is the key to success, victory. Judges shows us the need for a deliverer. Ruth, covenant love of God and his faithfulness. Samuel shows us that that ruler will be humble. Kings show us that God's word must surely come to pass. Looked at Chronicles 2 weeks ago. If I remember, what is the theme of Chronicles? Seek the Lord. That's right. Seeking God. Saw that Kings, there's a difference between Kings and Chronicles, even though there's some overlap in the content. Kings is written to explain what? Why they're in captivity, that's right. So it's focusing on their sin, on their disobedience, and so he's showing them that while they're there in captivity, it ends with that captivity, and it gives them some call for repentance while they're there. Chronicles is written at the end of the chapter. You know that from the last verse that was given. Paul, that Cyrus had said, rise up and go and build the temple of the Lord. So let's start here and read the first couple verses in Ezra chapter 1. We'll see here. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth and hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Oh, you see the overlap here? Where as Chronicles ends, Ezra picks up. In fact, this is the same proclamation that's found here. And so we find that God seeks to restore his people, to worship. Two things as we look at this book in Ezra. God wants to restore his people. We're going to find that it requires the work of God. And then we're going to find that it requires his people to respond. We see this in these opening verses. Do you see the Lord initiating the work? See that here. It says that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. It's amazing. God's in control, and one of the things he's using is pagan kings to accomplish his plan. I'm not so sure how pagan Cyrus is at this moment. He seems to have a testimony that the God of Jerusalem, he is the God. I don't know. I can't necessarily for sure, but I'd love to hope and believe that he came to a true knowledge of the God of Jehovah, Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to find that this proclamation gives them the legal basis to begin building after 70 years of the leading land, the authority of the land said this place has to be a rubbish heap. Now they can start building up, and they stir up some controversy, and there's some opposition against the work of God. They say, quick, put a stop to it. And the ruling leaders have forgotten about Cyrus and his decree, and they did put a stop to it. God works again, and King Darius comes and says, finds what Cyrus has written, and God works in him. And then Ezra comes along in chapter 7. So all this is taking place. There is this first deportation. It's really a returning back to the land. Ezra comes in chapter 7. There's a second return to the land, and he's coming back to finish this temple that's there. And it's Artaxerxes who gives a royal decree. What I'm saying is, one of the main things in this, you've got narrative, you've got lists, and you've got king's decree. Which are the three basic aspects of this book. And God is using the men who are in charge to open up, and he's stirring up their spirits. One of the things that is used throughout this, and Ezra talks about it, is that God's hand is upon them. In Ezra 7:6, he says it this way. King granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God. So God's at work. His hand is moving to stir amongst his people. In fact, in Ezra chapter 6, he is turning the people's hearts to the Lord. It says they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful. And turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hand in the work of the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. So chapter 6, they finish the work. And after they finish it, they keep the feast of Passover. And it says here that the Lord made them joyful. God is stirring in their hearts to return and be restored. See, God's work in that day was to build a temple. Who is the temple of the Lord today? His people. We are. And you know what God's doing today? Acts tells us that the purpose of God in this age, through the Holy Spirit, is to take unto himself a people for his name. We need to be restored. We need times of reviving. Do we need the times of refreshing? I believe we do. I think we can just look at our own hearts and say, you know what, God? Lord, stir me up. Lord, stir up my spirit. Lord, may your good hand be upon us. Because when God wants to restore his people, he begins to work in a powerful way. In fact, one of the things that God does is he raises up leaders. Says in Ezra 7:28, I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of the Israel chief men to go up with me. And there's a whole list of all these men that are saying, I'll go up and build the temple of the Lord. I'll help restore the furnishing. Oh yeah, we need, you know what, after they built the temple, you know what they needed to bring back was all the vessels and the gold and the treasury that he says, here, take all this gold. You know, Ezra's saying, okay, we're going to have this is like the old Wild West. All right, we're going to have a gold delivery coming down the old railroad. Every outlaw and bandit hears about that, and they're like, You know what it says in Ezra? He says, I was embarrassed. I was ashamed to ask the Lord and ask of the king to give us a bodyguard, to give us a royal troop of soldiers to go with him, because I'd already bragged on God about how he did that, his good hand. And so they made the entire trek, probably several months, through robber-infested lands with just the gold. They carried it. You know, it's a neat thing in this book. It talks about how they arrived safe. Good hand of the Lord, and they bring the gold into the house of God and put it in the church. God's at work through this one boy. You know, it's more than just the work of God. You can see this here. God's stirring up the spirit. God's making a way. But hear the question in verse 3. Who is there among you of all? Stand up. Be counted. Be willing to go. It's not just the work of God, but it's the work of God in concert with and obedience to God. That's why the list, oh, we love lists, don't we? We should just read for devotional sake, chapter 2. This person after this person after this person. But don't despise the list. God says, these are the men who obey me. These are the men who are willing to stand up and go through that land and return back so they could build the house of God amongst enemies. Oh, and there was opposition to the word of God. I told you about that, how they got the authorities to shut it down. You know what God does in chapter 5? Through Haggai and Zechariah, they begin to prophesy and say, wait a second, you must build the house of the Lord. Why are you putting your own houses? And they started building nice places for themselves. And he said, look at God's house. It's unfinished. It's incomplete. Rise up. And they could say, oh, we were told not to. Well, they did two things. They wrote an appeal, respectfully, and they started to. You know what? God honored their faith. And then Darius came back, and you know what he said? He said, I know what we can do. Take the people that were trying to stop him. He said, all right, don't hurt them anything. Cyrus told them they can build. And so what I want you to do, all the money you're giving to me, don't give it to me anymore. Just give it to them. Help them think. Well, now the enemies of God who were trying to stop the work of God are now financing. You know how this book comes to a conclusion? It comes to a conclusion with Ezra arrives. He finds that they are not ready to do the work of God. They're not ready to worship God in the temple because they were a mixed seed. They had begun marrying amongst the unbelievers, and they were disobeying God's word, and Ezra is distraught. And chapter 9 is his prayer to the Lord. And in some sense, you just read down here in verse 8. I'll just read verse 6 through. Let's go. And he said, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Chapter 9, verse 7. Since the days of our fathers have been in great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now, for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place. It's like a nail on a wall that by which you could be fixed. You got a little bit of security, a little bit of protection, that our God might lighten our eyes and get us a little reviving in our bondage. Look what God's doing for us. And here we are, mixing with people, going right back to the very thing. Begins to cry out. We find that he begins to preach. He gathered the people around him who trembled at the commandments of God, and the people come, and he says, you have done wickedly. I'm trying to remember exactly where it says here, but people respond and say, yes. They agree with him. They have broken, and they will repent, and they will turn from their sin. And you know what Ezra ends with? Another list of all the people turn from these mixed marriages. Kind of a challenging part there, but I want to say, what's the key verse here in Ezra that I think at least would be good to remember this part? go to chapter 7, verse 10. Chapter 7, verse 10. How did all this take place? It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord." He was prepared. He prepared his heart. He said, "I'm going to get ready. I'm going to do everything I can to seek God through His Word." And he sought the law. And he said, "I want to be obedient to this." And not only did he seek the law, but he did it. What he saw God show him, he said, "There it is. I must obey this." And he was careful to put it into practice. That's not where he ends. He says to seek the law and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes. The people of God responding in repentance to the teaching of the Word of God. This is how God responds. God takes him from a place of being under God's judgment. He says he delighted in them to destroy them. Now God is changing. He is answering His Word, and He says, "I will restore you." Who is it? Will they? He said, "You don't have to go build it. Build the temple." We're not talking about a building project here. We're talking about God wants to build a people for His name out of Fort Scott, out of Bourbon County. God wants to do a work. Two of His people can be counted and say, "God, I'll be a part of the work. I'll serve you. I'll work in this capacity. I'll further the Great Commission. I'll give to missions. I'll be a part of God." Ultimately, at the end, you see, what is the great need of God? Hear the Word of God. To have the lives of our God. All right, that's the word on Ezra. Go ahead and dismiss the young people.